Hi, it's JC with the top 5 reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number 1, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. 2, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. 3 and 4, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number 5, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Holiday season's upon us, gentlemen. What does that mean? Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry, just a little north of the stadium. It's not Northdale Mabry. It's right there in Tampa. And easy access, whether you're coming down from Carrollwood, if you come across the Courtney Campbell, it's right there when you get on the Tampa side, coming up from South Tampa. Tremendous showroom, great values, and one of the greatest Buck fans you're ever going to see in Sean Sullivan. The time is now. You're not going to get a better deal. And next year, who knows what the prices are going to be. Right now, you got to take advantage. Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford. Get your holiday deals done.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is the fourth season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks to those of you that have played in the podcast leagues. We are actually organizing a regular season finale watch party because the regular season in fantasy football in most leagues will be the Monday night game, week 13. And it's a good game too. Vikings at Seahawks. I'm working on this, but not only will all four leagues I commission, the foundation, Todd Wright Tour Fantasy, Moneyball, and the Ira Kaufman-led Hall of Fame Fantasy League, will all owners and their guests be invited, but you will be invited as well. If you'd just like to come out and hang out with us, introduce yourself, talk fantasy football with me, watch the game with us, We're going to hang out as a group for the first half. I don't imagine most people are going to want to stay. These Monday night games end late. People have things to do on Tuesday morning. So from roughly 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., we'll be at the Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. Just save the date right now. I'll get you more details once we get closer. I'm still working on this, but it's a save the date situation for Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, just west of Northdale Mabry. That's one of 11 Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. For the one nearest you, go to originalhooters.com. Thanks to Hooters for their third straight year as presenting sponsor in season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I say this all the time. I'm going to try to make this a shorter podcast. Email me today, tonight. Remember, I can't really get to your emails on Sunday. With the four leagues I commission, I'm within a month of Todd Wright Tour 22, my latest sold out golf tournament at West Chase Golf Club on December the 14th. It's just very difficult. It has to be sort of a me fantasy day, but you can email me Monday through Saturday, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. One reminder, just because a couple of these have come in recently, when you email me, this isn't Twitter. Okay. You don't have to be fast about it. We're not doing a TV show here. This is you talking to me one-on-one. Nobody else is listening. This is personalized service that I give you. So you don't have to say, here are my 5 players. I need to start 3. No, don't do that. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what players you're thinking of playing or sitting and what your other options are, and give me your opinion. I want to hear your reasoning, and then I'll offer you a second opinion, and you can dismiss it if you like. I don't want to set your lineups. I want to give you another piece of research, because I know you do your own research, and I'm giving it to you personalized. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who just appreciate the effort that I put in to personalize this for you, both here on the podcast, on VEASAN, via email, etc. Some of you have even asked for my PayPal account just to send me a small token of your appreciation. I'll always say that's not necessary, but I won't turn it down. It's appreciated. And some of you have done it a couple of times now. Don't feel obligated. This podcast will always be free, unlike so much else out there in the fantasy universe where you have to pay for it. That's why I get to talk about Hooters. They pay for it for all of you. But thanks to those of you who throw me a little tip here and there. Someone just did again last week. So I'm very active. I think it's because the Moneyball League has made me study so intently so many players because I only had the top draft pick and no other draft picks. It has given me the incentive to be more aggressive in my dealings, in my starting lineups, why I have players on my bench. So I made another trade this week. It was not in the Moneyball League. It was in my Foundation League. Now, I was basically dead 2 weeks ago in my Foundation League. Just not my year. Adams injured out a month. Thielen still injured. Who else did I have? I drafted Baker Mayfield. Big mistake. Drafted Josh Gordon. Big mistake. Hunter Henry got hurt very early on. Granted, it was a much later draft pick just to use him at wide receiver, tight end, flex, but he got hurt. So I was done. I was headed for the bracket we call Ass Mania because the loser of the loser's bracket becomes the ass man and gets the actual Kramer New York license plate that has to go on the front of their car in the offseason. Yes, I have the actual plate at some point. We'll post a picture of it. So I was 2-6 and done. Reached out to the first place team, who also happens to be the general manager of West Chase Golf Club, and I said, any way I can help you, you're looking to win a championship, earn a first round bye, I need to win now. What can we do together? And he wanted Devontae Adams, who was just coming back off injury, to pair with Michael Thomas. Big time two wide receivers to have to win in the playoffs. So he offered me my choice of Amari Cooper and Tyreek Hill. I took Cooper only because Cooper had already had his bye week. Hill had not. And he offered to flip me back Dak Prescott because he's a Browns fan and he believed in Baker Mayfield going forward. Been okay for a couple of games. But I flipped him back Josh Allen, and Allen's been okay as well. I think I got the better end of the trade. I've won the last 2 weeks. Guess what? So has he. So then this week, I felt I still need to do more. So I aggressively reached out to the defending champions, the Ticats, named for the CFL Hamilton Tiger Cats. And I went after Chris Godwin big. Made a very aggressive offer, offering two players for Chris Godwin and then a lesser player off his bench that might help me in a week or so. He turned down the deal. I invited him to counteroffer. I took the counteroffer. He offered me Travis Kelce. And remember, I do. I hate tight ends. But I like Travis Kelce. And it kind of feels like things are going to heat up in Kansas City, whether they win or lose. For fantasy purposes, Mahomes, Damian Williams, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. This is how it was supposed to be all year. Now suddenly, it feels like it could be that. So I took it. He was in a bye week quandary. And I think due to one injury, he needed a running back. My top two running backs are Ezekiel Elliott and Josh Jacobs. And I have Damian Williams and the Drake on the bench. I wasn't going to play Philip Lindsay in the coming weeks, barring something happening to one of the top two. I offered him Philip Lindsay in the initial deal with another wide receiver, a starting wide receiver, for Godwin and one throw in off his bench. He still needed Lindsay. He offered me Kelce for Lindsay. I took it. So Kelsey's now in my starting lineup at the wide receiver tight end flex for this week. I did give it a second thought just because the Chiefs are off next week. And look, there's three games left in the regular season. I figure in the Foundation League, I'm 4-6. I need to win two of them because it's not like right now the points are going to win me a tiebreaker. I figure I have to win at least two to have a chance to finish 6-7. Well, Kelsey gives me two games. This week, unfortunately a bye week, then week 13. Now, what I'm trying to do now, today, as I record this on Saturday at roughly 4 o'clock, is I did have Hunter Henry, and Henry's been getting targets. Granted, you know, was left wide open in the end zone in that game against the Raiders, but in a wide receiver, tight end, flex, that's the only flex spot. Obviously, I'm playing Kelsey. Henry is also off next week, so he's now irrelevant to me. I don't want to cut him. I want to send him to someone else who's in some bye week trouble that might want to play Hunter Henry this week. So I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to flip Hunter Henry and get something of value back. Maybe that can start for me in week 12 when Travis Kelsey cannot. Anyway, just push the trade deadlines back in your leagues. It's more fun to make these deals. Now, granted, you can't have someone tank if someone is 1-9 and is trading away the equivalent of DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook for three nobodies, then yeah, the commissioner should step in. But I think we're beyond that in most fantasy leagues, and I think most of you are picky about who's in the fantasy leagues, that they're going to play it out. They're going to play with integrity, even if they've had a bad year. All right, let me just throw out some random things as we look ahead to Sunday. Sort of, let's go in reverse order. Let's go wide receivers, running backs, and then quarterbacks. Just some random thoughts. You know, Stephon Diggs, and I own him in the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy Podcast League. Stephon Diggs seems to be affected by Adam Thielen being out, at least the last couple of weeks. Teams can concentrate more of their best coverage on Diggs since Thielen's not lining up on the opposite side. Keep that in mind, knowing now Thielen is out again this week and has a bye week next week. So Thielen now hasn't helped you in a month. Trust me, I know. I own him in the Foundation, but there was no way I could get any trade value for him, so I'm just hoping to make the playoffs, and then Thielen might heat up that last month and help me win a playoff game if I can get there. Keenan Allen owners, I'm sorry if I jinxed it. You know, I have not a good relationship with Keenan Allen. I haven't owned him in years. And then at the beginning of this year, he was getting it done. Not just between the 20s, which is what I always say, but in the red zone. And recently, it's just not happening. And he's gone from one of the top six wide receivers in fantasy football, and he's dropped off significantly. All I'll say is the targets are still there. The return of Melvin Gordon had a really weird impact on this team. I'm sure there's more to the fact that the Chargers just aren't better. You know, last year, they were probably the third best team in the AFC behind the Chiefs and the Patriots. They probably were. They're not as good this year. Various theories as to why. Phillip Rivers, we'll talk about him in a little bit, but not having Gordon and then getting Gordon back, and then you were without Hunter Henry for a while. Mike Williams can't score. But the targets are still there for Keenan Allen. They are still there. I'd keep playing them. So I guess it's not me when, especially before the bye, remember the Patriots are coming off a bye to play the Eagles on Sunday. Mohamed Sanu, the way he was used in that Ravens game, he looked a lot like Julian Edelman. I mean, I'm just waiting for them to use the play where Brady throws left to Edelman, Edelman throws back to the right to Sanu, but it's backwards, then Sanu throws down the field to Edelman. They are two very unique athletes. And now off the bye week to further incorporate Sanu, I'm glad I picked him up when the Patriots traded for him in the Moneyball League. And I'm playing him this week against that Eagle pass defense, which has been one of the five worst all year, right there with Tampa Bay and with Arizona as well. I said on Gil Alexander's show when he asked me why I thought Christian Kirk was a good plug-and-play option last week against the Bucs, and it hit for the three touchdowns and a lot of yardage. And I brought up, I said, well, he was second in catches without a touchdown to Mike Williams, and he had the matchup against Tampa Bay. There was more to it. Thank you, Patrick Daugherty of RotoWorld, for this note. The Cardinals are using Kirk more outside now than in the slot. And just from what I've seen with Kyler Murray, Kyler likes to throw on the perimeter rather than throwing down the middle. And if he's going to throw down the middle, it's going to have a lot of arc on it. So getting Kirk outside seems to benefit Kyler Murray in finding him. And even against the Niner defense, Patrick Daugherty even thinks Kirk is a wide receiver too this week. I don't agree. I'm not playing him again this week. Actually, in the Moneyball League, I got my three touchdowns out of him, and I cut him. I did. I cut him because I only played him because Sanu couldn't play and because of the matchup. I don't feel as strongly about Kirk this week, but the fact that he's outside, you know, and he's not going to get three touchdowns again. But Patrick Daugherty feels good. I do feel good, and so does Patrick Daugherty, about DJ Moore. This is a guy who has been getting a significant amount of targets. Really, he's been the number two guy in the Carolina offense since they've sort of stabilized in life without Cam Newton. Of course, number one across the board is anything involving Christian McCaffrey, but number two is DJ Moore. And the volume is there. And I think at some point he's going to have one of those games or get into the end zone to balance out all of this volume, because Curtis Samuel is the one scoring touchdowns and catching the passes down the field. All right, let's move on to some running backs. Keep an eye on this Damian Williams personal issue. This is tricky because it's the Monday night game. So we learned, I guess, earlier on Saturday that Damian Williams has a personal issue, although Andy Reid says, I still expect him to travel with us to Mexico City for the game. You want him to get on that plane. You want to know basically before 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon if Damian Williams is with the team heading to Mexico City, because that's tricky if you're waiting that out on Monday night and he's inactive because of whatever this personal issue is, and you got no other option other than maybe picking up a Darrell Williams off waivers, or someone dumped McCoy last week, or is not. I don't think Eckler would be available on waivers. So that's you got to have to keep an eye on that, and I am too, because Williams has been a workhorse the last couple of weeks, and we just talked about how the Chiefs' offense looks like we thought it would look all of a sudden. So keep an eye on Damian Williams. Make sure he's going to play Monday night. Otherwise, you might need to make a move on Sunday to protect yourself and play another running back before his game kicks off. Is Mark Ingram touchdown dependent? He averages 69 yards rushing a game, but he's not catching a lot of balls out of the backfield. But the touchdowns have been there. And the Ravens, you know, clearly know how to run the ball, although it's Lamar Jackson doing a lot of it. Lamar Jackson actually has 5 rushing touchdowns the last 4 starts. Lamar Jackson, honestly, has more rushing touchdowns the last month than virtually all running backs in the NFL, other than maybe Aaron Jones and what would be one more, Christian McCaffrey? I guess that's a good one. Marlon Mack is not catching balls out of the backfield either. Just 2 catches the last 3 weeks. Nyheim Hines is getting those looks out of the backfield. He's not fantasy worthy. It just hurts Marlon Mack's numbers. We mentioned Melvin Gordon the last couple weeks. He is sixth overall in rushing yards. So if you own him, you got to play him. Fournette had a bad game before the bye. Good bounce back spot potentially for him. And also, if you subscribe to the theory that I did with Christian Kirk, Fournette only has one touchdown rushing all year. Foles back in there. We're assuming Foles plays well. It'll help Fournette. Minshew did a solid job for a while, but it was dropping off recently, and teams were able to concentrate more, I think, on Chark and on Fournette. But the volume's been consistent for Fournette, for Ezekiel Elliott, for Chris Carson, for Derrick Henry all year. Meanwhile, the volume on Todd Gurley. You know, this week Patrick Doherty ranked Todd Gurley the 19th best running back for Week 11. Behind, you ready for this? Devin Singletary and Ronald Jones. It serves you right if you drafted Todd Gurley. Now, if Gurley goes off in your fantasy playoffs, as the Rams are pushing to make the playoffs themselves, but they don't look like the Rams, do they? Bad loss in Pittsburgh last week. Gurley is fine when he's running straight ahead. He doesn't seem to be able to move laterally. 22 touches of the ball the last 2 weeks. That's one half 2 years ago. Speaking of the Rams, what a lousy quarterback matchup this week between the Bears and the Rams. It's Mitchell Trubisky and Jared Goff. And I saw this as I was working out today on the crawl on NFL Network. These are the two quarterbacks whose quarterback ratings have plummeted more than any other two quarterbacks from last year. Both are down more than 10 points off last year. Both of them. Trubisky gets all the crap. But Goff, and they re-upped him. McVay may have a problem there going forward with Goff, or they'll flip him and bring somebody else in. Don't go overboard thinking Kyle Allen is a plug and play this week. I mean, the plug and plays are his wide receivers, the DJ Moore. I've used Curtis Samuel the last couple of weeks. I'm using DJ Moore this week. But Kyle Allen is quarterback 26 in fantasy football. 26. He may be Carolina's future. He's not your fantasy future. Jimmy G. Off the fingers pointing at him for why the Niners lost their first game. Short week, but goes up against the worst fantasy defense as far as points for opposing quarterbacks. So it's a good matchup for Jimmy G, but the Niners are the walking wounded. No Breida, no Kittle, no Sanders. I'd stay away from it. I really would. We mentioned Nick Foles is in for Minshew. Speaking of Phillip Rivers, hasn't had more than two touchdowns in a game since opening weekend. So Allen's getting targets, but Rivers and him just aren't connecting. And David Carr, as much as the Raiders are surging and getting buzz as a playoff contender, it's been more Josh Jacobs and not David Carr. David Carr has only three TDs or more once this entire season. Oh, and Tyrell Williams, his volume is almost insignificant the last 2 months, despite the fact that what his first five games he played and he scored a touchdown. Let me give you one more good note. Let's see. Now we've talked about. Let's talk about the Bills a little bit. If you want safe plays, the Bills offer you Josh Allen, maybe a Devin Singletary, John Brown, even Cole Beasley's had a floor. Just from a fantasy standpoint, you need people in your lineup who can put up those big numbers. I mentioned on a previous fantasy podcast, I won in the Moneyball League last week because I had three starters score 30 or more. Lamar Jackson, Christian Kirk, Pittsburgh DST. The Bills aren't giving you any of that. Josh Allen isn't giving you that. John Brown's not giving you that. Cole Beasley won't give you that. Devin Singletary hasn't given you that. They're safe plays. You can't expect the huge numbers out of those guys. There are some who believe John Brown, if there's any week John Brown can put up a big week, it's this week. I believe it's against the Dolphins. I don't know. I owned John Brown last year. He gave me one. He did give me one real big game. It was against the Saints. Caught a game-winning touchdown late. I think put up nearly 20 points. Hasn't had a game like that since. All right. Again, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. And for those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area, save the date. Come out once we officially announce our regular season finale watch party, and it's the fantasy regular season. That's Monday, December 2nd. The game is Vikings at Seahawks. And even if you don't play in a podcast league, but you're interested in future podcast leagues, you're invited to come out that night. I'll give you more details as it gets closer. Just save the date. Monday night, December 2nd, roughly 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. As a group, we'll hang for the first half, and then if you need to go, go. And I'll probably go too. All right, we'll talk to you next time. Good luck this weekend.